Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now, Craig, doesn't matter what sector you're invested in, I think people are pretty depressed. We've been chatting all day today about different areas and different investors, and quite frankly, it seems like everybody is most likely underwater, and we've been trying to find the catalyst as to why markets are moving down so much, and it really does just seem to kind of filter back to the Fed rate hiking cycle and pulling away the easy money punch bowl that does undoubtedly support markets. We've seen that throughout history, and now that punch bowl has largely been taken away from the market, and we're seeing pullbacks across the board. What's your takeaway from this environment here, Craig, where it's not like the Fed surprised us with any of these rate hikes, but the market's really taking notice now?
You know, do you remember over the last couple of years, you know, people talked about the dot-com bubble, and then when that burst, the Fed, you know, knew they were in trouble, so they blew up the housing bubble, you know, and then that blew up, you know, and then what have people called this? The everything bubble? Have you heard that term? So I guess we shouldn't be surprised that everything is going down, right? That there is no place that you can hide. I mean, think of your, you know, the old traditional financial planner balanced portfolio of 60% stocks and 40% bonds. That's getting the crap kicked out of it, right? There's no place to hide. Everybody's rushing to cash and rushing specifically into the dollar. And the whole thing is spiraling on itself. We've spoken in the last 6 weeks, because I know I wrote about this publicly twice in April in articles I called Concern for Stonks, making fun of the stock market. And that was that Bill Dudley, you know, who till recently ran the New York branch of the Federal Reserve. So, I mean, we're talking about a pretty important guy. Now, of course, he works for Goldman Sachs. But Bill Dudley came out in early April and said, look, the Fed wants to inflict losses on stock market investors. There's another adage, don't fight the Fed, right? So none of this should be surprising, but yet I guess what's surprising is that everything is falling. But then, like I said, if you look back when, you know, the people that accurately described it as the everything bubble, I guess maybe that shouldn't be surprising either.
Yeah, Craig, it's interesting environment to find ourselves in. People were also calling it the big bond bubble popping. And so after 30, 40 years of rates only going down, 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 and bonds only going up, 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 that finally topped in August of 2020, where we saw the lowest rates. I think it was like a 0.4% handle on the 10-year. But to your point, everything was telegraphed, including Bill Dudley mentioning, hey, we're going to inflict losses in the stock market. So even these losses were telegraphed. And now that people are in it, I think people are surprised. My question is, do you think we've seen a wake-up call, I guess, on Wall Street and on Bay Street from investors that only knew 12 years of buy the dip, and now that strategy has been turned on its head?
Well, it may be temporarily turned on its head. This notion, and again, maybe the Fed will just completely lose control. You know, this big move in the 10-year note all stretches back to the weekend of first weekend of March, March 5th and 6th, when the U.S. kicked Russia out of SWIFT and seized their offshore foreign currency reserves. And now everybody, even Japan, has been selling treasuries in the time since. Now, I know it's inflation as well, but that would maybe mean that maybe the Fed has, maybe they are going to lose control. Well, we'll see about that. There are clearly more sellers and buyers than there are in the treasury market these days, and rates keep skyrocketing. Now, that'll change because eventually the stock market's going to break, and then you'll get, again, like we got in 2018, a safe haven bid for bonds. We may already be seeing it. What did we get to 320 in the 10-year note last week, and now we're down to about 280? It's a pretty big move back the other direction. And gold will get that safe haven bid, too, when the stock market finally broke down in December of 2018. It was already down 10% from its highs, but then it lost 10% in 10 days in December of 2018. Gold actually went up about 3 or 4%. Over those 10 days, because again, it caught a safe haven bid that was kind of a spillover from bonds. We haven't seen that yet, obviously, but we will. And I the Fed can sit there and defend their credibility, you know, and all this stuff. I mean, if you got to defend your credibility, maybe you don't have as much credibility as you think. I digress. The Fed can sit there and talk about that. But as you mentioned, Shed, they have driven everybody And I mean, not just, you know, people listening to this call, institutions, pension funds, endowments, mutual funds. I mean, you just go down the list, everybody into risk assets through their zero interest rate policy. You know, you can't get, if you're an insurance company, you want to have a portfolio of fixed income, right? It's all safe and bonds, you know, but you know, all of a sudden these bonds are yielding 1% and now they're getting the crap kicked out of them. You have to mark them to market. A moment is coming. The Fed can, like I said, they can talk all they want, but the moment is coming. They're going to have to change. I mean, they'll have to. Now, whether they still have control and power to, you know, to really impact things when that happens, because everybody's lost confidence in them, we'll see. But this notion, I mean, Dudley was on Bloomberg yesterday talking about 5% Fed funds. What? When push comes to shove, they are not going to choose fighting inflation over rescuing the banks and all of their friends at BlackRock and every place else. So it's painful. It's no fun. But when they're revealed, as they've been in the past, to be lying about all this, that's when you get the incredible surge in precious metals. And that moment's coming. I've talked about that in my macrocast this year back in January, that was coming later this year, and we are right on track.
Let's also remember, too, when we're listening to Dudley's comments, he's not with the Fed anymore, right? So he is coming at it from maybe a slightly different angle, but hey, I'm with you. 5% Fed's funds rate, that's a long way away from here. Craig, it sounds like we're waiting for another kind of crash in the markets then, because to my point earlier, this sell-off has been somewhat orderly for the equity markets. If we do get a much bigger crash, though, that's undoubtedly going to take everything lower. And we're already seeing how much, say, the precious metal stocks are getting hit. So is this the environment to even be going long anything? Or is it truly the shorter's dream right now?
Could be. I saw just a collection. And again, like you're talking about, everything is down. And so there are people on Twitter that are interested in all these different things, not just the precious metals, trying to say, yes, this is it. This is the capitulation. Now's the time to buy. And I couldn't help but say, hey, look, I'll give you a little pro tip here. It's not capitulation when there's anybody saying it's time to buy. It's only capitulation when nobody wants to buy anything. No, again, give me out. I'm not buying. That's when capitulation comes. S&P clearly breaking down below support. Now below 4,000 even. Took out very important support last Friday and has been down every day since. Could accelerate to the down. It could be orderly, like it's been in, you know, I remember 2008, it was just down every day, about 2%. 2018 that I keep mentioning, that period was down 10% in 10 days, but it wasn't like down 1% for 9 days and then down 9% in one day. It was pretty, I mean, it just kept getting worse and worse. And that's probably what's coming. I don't recall if we've discussed the long-term chart of the S&P, but the thing I keep pulling up for people and pointing out on my site and on Twitter is that when the Fed has tried to do this, whether it was in 15 or 18 or even in the run-up pre-COVID, when the stock market crashed, it fell through support and then went all the way to its 200-week moving average every time, all three times. And so I've been warning people, I mean, just be alert. I mean, here they're telling you they want to inflict losses on you. And that 200-week moving average is down like at 3,500 on the S&P, which would be another 10-12% down from here, maybe over the next 10 days, if, you know, history's any guide. And that would put you about 30% down from the peak. That'd be enough to prompt a change of the Fed policy, I would think. Powell pivot too.
Yeah, Craig, and when I talk to my buddies, whether it's the cryptos being chopped more than in half, maybe 50-60% down, or the growth stocks, the Cathie Woods style stocks that were the flavor of the day back in 2020 and 2021, the stay-at-home stocks like the Pelotons and Zooms crushed, the reopening stocks crushed. So it's kind of across the board. One sector that's near and dear to our heart is the silver market. I remember your joke about the if it goes down 18 days and has an RSI of 18, buy it. But we have seen some big 9-day, 10-day runs down in silver, and it is starting to get overbought. Are you concerned that it's now dipped below that 2150 level and that we may see a little more carnage before silver bottoms?
Yes. However, Shad, this is fun because we have talked about that. That was May of 2017. When that happened, 18 days in a row, went from 19 to 15 or 16. 18 days in a row, the RSI got to 18. If we had not managed to eke out a meager 11-cent gain yesterday, Wednesday. Today would be 18 days in a row. And last I checked, the daily RSI was 20.5. Now, again, not trying to make it sound like, you know, yours truly is Nostradamus, but in my annual forecast that I wrote and posted for everybody to read, which is sometimes a fool's errand to do, but I did that back in early January. I said the first four months of this year are going to be pretty tough, a lot like last year, because the Fed's going to be playing these games, talking about hiking rates and all that kind of stuff. Second 4 months of the year is when things will begin to stabilize, and it's the last 4 months of the year when the Powell pivot is kicking in. This is when the precious metals soar, because everybody realizes for a period of months, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, that the Fed's full of crap, and that's when everything's taken off. Think most recently, what was gold? 1280, maybe, in December of 2018, and by August of 2020, it was 2080, okay? Silver went from 14 to 30. That's coming again. However, we got to get through this tribulation first. At least, if anything, gold's only down not even 1% year to date. Silver's down more than that. But you could see this coming. And I invite everybody, just go to my Twitter page at TF Metals. It's the pinned tweet right at the top. You can read it if you've never read it. This is all utterly, again, large scale, predictable. Short term, God, who knows? Maybe we'll go to 18. But I told myself, and we've joked about this, if it ever goes down 18 days in a row and the RSI is under 20, I think I'll buy. I think that's probably a pretty good trading opportunity. And at some point, the risk-reward skew is about 99 to 1 to the upside. I you know, see those bottoms in hindsight. I can't say we're certainly there yet, but God dang, we're close. The only thing that hangs out there is in a market meltdown. If that's where the thing goes and the dollar keeps going up a point a day like it is today, the high frequency trading machines are just going to keep selling and shorting. With the RSI at 20, be damned. So if the dollar keeps going up, then maybe things will just continue to get worse. But when the dollar turns, you're going to see a rally that's going to melt your eyebrows, and it's going to be really, really fast. And the lows for the year will be in.
Yeah, the dollar really has been a standout this year in the midst of just a whole lot of red. But to your point, if you're down 18 days in a row and the RSI is at 18, yes, it's a trading opportunity, but you're still, for the most part, in a bear market right there. And when you're trying to trade a bear market to the long side, you do need to be pretty quick sometimes with those trades. Craig, if we are just waiting for the Powell pivot or the Fed to pivot to start with easy money policies... Yeah, okay, precious metals can do very well. We've seen that historically. But do you think investors will then just say, well, I might as well just dump it back in the U.S. markets and forget about things, because that's where that money's going to go? And those markets, they have historically, in those sort of scenarios, run longer and higher than, say, the precious metals.
Mm-hmm. You know, and in hyper or super inflationary environments, equity markets usually do pretty well. And that's where we'd be headed. And so somebody asked me, I can't remember who it was. I was in an interview earlier this week. I said, you know, we've had some guests on that say only the precious metals will go up the next time because people will learn their lesson. I started laughing. I was like, no, they won't. No, they won't have learned their lesson. You know, you just flip from fear to greed and everything will go back up. No, you can't just, you know, who knows how far and all that kind of stuff and how it all plays out from there and whether eventually confidence in this monetary system will be so shattered that we won't just, you know, peak and then come back down and, you know, keep on the same cycle. I just feel very comfortable that the Fed is not, and Bill Dudley be damned, they're not taking Fed funds to 5%, because the 10-year note at 5% would just destroy everything. I mean, it would destroy everything. It'd be like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man walking down through Manhattan, just the destroyer from Gozer. It's just not going to happen. And the market, especially gold and silver, are still behaving as if it is. So we've talked before about, you know, Warren Buffett's rule about recognizing market inefficiencies and using that to your advantage. Well, this is a big inefficiency because, like I said, precious metals and miners are trading as if the Fed funds is going to 5%. It's not. Unless the Fed has completely lost all control. And I don't think we're there yet. I think they're going to pivot again first.
Well, Craig, I just want to give you a compliment that earlier in the year you talked about having this one universal chart concept. Yeah. And I struggled with it because I thought there's no way that everything can be that linked up. But it really does seem like everything is going to sell off in unity here. And then if there is that shift from fear to greed, everything will probably all bounce like one universal chart. So is there any potential that we see the precious metals diverge from the general markets and actually use some of the weakness as a reason to maybe get more traction as a safe haven? Because some people have postulated we need to see that for the next big leg in the precious metal cycle. So is it still one universal chart, or could we see some different sectors diverge from one another finally?
Well, no, I think, Shad, that again, with history's your guide, and this could be dead wrong, but there will come a point, if I'm right about the S&P just continuing to melt away and going all the way down to 3,500 or even lower, there will be a point that leads to a safe haven. Got to put money someplace. Okay, and I think the Fed is going to do this, or we're heading into a recession or whatever, and you'll get this sustained safe haven bid in the Treasury market. That'll drive nominal rates back down, which will lead to real rates going back under zero, you know, if you use inflation expectations. And all of a sudden, the machines will start buying, and you'll get the safe haven bid in gold. I mean, that's how it's worked in the past, and I assume that's how it'll work here. Again, we're getting into these areas where, what did it? I saw Steve Santangelo put out something overnight. It said Endeavor Silver's all-in sustaining costs were like $21. I mean, there's a point here, like there was in 2015, where there's a floor that you just can't. There's a physical floor to these paper markets. If it's 20 or 21, then we're pretty damn close, and we'll get to that point too. So I just look. It's no fun. I've ridden my IRA down, just probably like everybody else has, but I've done that several times now because I think I'm right in the long term, and I don't want to be sitting in cash and chasing when things turn. Because like I said, when it turns, that's when you really get the gains, and you could fall behind early. And man, it from these kind of levels, this kind of oversold levels, it's going to be bear market rallies. If we're currently in a bear market, Corey, you also know, I mean, bear market rallies are the sharpest kind, and that's coming. That's coming.
Oh, yeah. It is. Who knows when it's coming, though, and who knows how much further down we have to go here, because it's been ugly day after day this week. You really don't even want to look at the stocks because they're going to be down a couple percent at best.
Right.
So, yeah, hopefully this whole environment changes, but it's not just a sector-specific thing. It is market-wide right now. Craig, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. Hope you have a good weekend. We'll chat next week.
I can't wait to do this again next Thursday.